been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a split decision on the market right now. With the Dow in one corner, it is up 84 points right now to 39,089. But the NASDAQ in the opposite corner is down 94 points today. It's mostly AMD and NVIDIA. They were down about 4% or so when the market opened. So the NASDAQ is down 57 basis points right now at 16,173. The S&P 500 hit a new all-time high yesterday. It closed at a level it's never seen before, 5175, but today it's down 8 points, which is 15 basis points so far. The small caps are rallying today. Small caps, Russell 2000 up 13 points to 2078. Crude oil, big rally there. I'm not sure, must be a draw on our inventories. Oil is up 201 today. 79.57. Gold is up $5.30 to 2,171. The 10-year is up another 2 basis points. That puts it at 4.18. And Bitcoin is up 172 to 72,499. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We had a new all-time high yesterday. We closed at an all-time high in the S&P 500. And that puts the S&P at 5,175, and let's not forget that most folks had a year-end target price, I would say, of about 5,200, somewhere in there, when we began the year. So we've had 1 year's worth of action, it seems like, here in the first 2.5 months of this year. Where do we go from here? Well, there's a couple of firms weighing in today on their target prices. It's one thing to up your target prices because the market's going up, but for me it's another matter to quantify why you're upping the target price and how you quantify that. Are you increasing the earnings estimates, or are you increasing the multiple? You have to be doing one or the other, or a little bit of both. The NASDAQ was up 246 yesterday. I guess the CPI print, Barry, was okay. You know, I don't think it was enough to say, oh, we need to cut rates. Inflation's gone. I think it was kind of a reminder that inflation's still around, if anything. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I think the main thing was, you know, you had that jump in energy, right, which hadn't, you know, you haven't seen in, I think it was the first increase in 5 months from that reading. So, you know, you got to remember that that piece is certainly very volatile, which is why, you know, they focus on the core, but it doesn't, you know, it still doesn't mean that inflation is not occurring, right? Just because,
that's right.
You know, I mean, when they take out the stuff we need, right, which is, energy is a big part of that, and food. The other piece that was interesting, I think, where, you know, folks looked at it in terms of, you know, being more benign was the, number one, the food was actually came in at zero inflation. Depends on what you're purchasing, I guess, if you actually feel that zero in terms of inflation. But that piece was interesting. The other piece was services. Services inflation was down, which given the fact that our so much of our economy is a service-based economy. that was, you know, one portion that I think you know, the bulls looked at, right, as a silver lining to the CPI. And then of course we get PPI tomorrow. So
yes, and Snickers is denying and saying no, we have not shrunk. No shrinkflation at Snickers.
No,
they put out a statement after the State of the Union. Now
I love my washing detergent that we use for the washing machine, and now, you know, when I buy the small bag, it says you know, I think it's like 19 in a bag, and I'm thinking like there used to be 20. I mean, there
probably
used to be 20.
It's there. Happening.
Who would
not
put
at Snickers?
Who would put 19 in there? You know,
yeah, that's weird. Okay, well, boots on the ground. You know, I went to Kava, which is a publicly traded company.
I've been wanting to get over there.
They're a Chipotle wannabe, but with Mediterranean food. Okay, mm-hmm. So like you tell them what you want on your pita or in your bowl, and I would just say it's $15.15 for a Mediterranean bowl. Yeah, this is a fast food restaurant where you stand in line and tell $15.15. So I mean, it's not cheap. You know, I see inflation. It was good. Yeah, no, okay. I liked it. Very good. Okay, now, all right, so where do we go from here? We've got some interesting stories here today. I like this one. UK, the United Kingdom's GDP surges 0.20% in January as expected. Now, that's almost immeasurable, right? Okay, that means they're just above the flat line over there in the United Kingdom. And, of course, we've been getting numbers out of Europe that are about the same. We're talking GDP that's like 0.1-tenth of 1%, somewhere in that range. So things remain very slow in Europe and very poor in China. The Federal Reserve, that's next week. They'll meet. I doubt anything happens, but it will be all about the guidance that they give moving forward. We've had two big wigs come out and say that they want to see the Fed move slowly. Both J.P. Morgan, you had Jamie Dimon saying, oh, you know what, I don't want to see any rate cuts for a while here until we're sure inflation has left. And today Citadel's Ken Griffin is also saying that the Federal Reserve should move slowly, to cut interest rates. Well, I think it'll all be data, depending on the data that comes in. Did we get the PPI today?
Actually tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow.
I thought it was going to be today too. Today, actually, no on my economic calendar says none scheduled, so you don't get that often. But yeah, tomorrow we get retail sales, we get producer PPI tomorrow, we get of course the weekly jobless claims and a few other notes, and of course we get, I guess, on Friday the old Empire State Manufacturing Survey, some import prices, and some industrial production numbers.
Yeah, slow.
Then we get the Fed the next week.
So. Our favorite market analyst says there's no. Now some people are just stubborn. They will never admit they're wrong. Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson says there's no reason to raise his year-end S&P 500 target price. What is his year-end target price? 4,500. Well, we're currently at 5,175. So he got left in the dust. He's been wrong probably more than any analyst. I don't know. I'd have to quantify that somehow. I'm just going by, you know, what we see. And every time he checks in, he seems to be the one contrarian in the group. And the contrarians sometimes are right, but he hasn't been right, it seems like, in a long time. Didn't they demote him or change his title over
Stanley? They kind of reshuffled him, but that's probably a good way to put it, right?
Well,
so in other words, he's in they have him focusing on, you know, other parts that he wants to focus on, so he's not kind of, I guess, the quote-unquote spokesman, right, for the whole analyst group, if you will.
Well, Mike Wilson says that a lot of folks have raised their price targets because of higher multiples. And, I mean, that's the only way you can. I have not seen earnings estimates go up at all for several months now. So they're raising their multiples, which, you know, I mean, to raise your multiple, you've got to be pretty sure that interest rates are going to continue to go down and fairly quickly. Wilson says we are not willing to raise our multiple. So I agree with that, but he's obviously got to be using a multiple somewhere in the 16 to 17 range. Let's see, at 250, they have a 4,500. Yeah, he's got to be at about 17 or so. So his year-end target price is 4,500. So he would be calling for about a 10% drop between now and the end of the year. Whereas most of the other analysts are in the 5,200 to 5,300 range. And again, we're currently at 5,175. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we've got a split market here so far today. The NASDAQ down 98, the Dow up 83. Disney's a pretty good-looking stock chart right now. We don't own Disney, but I'm scrolling through some charts here during the breaks, and I have been noticing that Disney looks like it might be on the verge of breaking out to the upside. Now J.P. Morgan is weighing in today on the macro picture, and they're saying that a market correction is inevitable for the mega caps as momentum hits its peak. Okay, so momentum is one of the measures that I use in my stock selection process and in my analysis of the markets and individual stocks during the day. In fact, momentum is about one half of the equation I use in my quant ratings, and valuation is the other half, which is very unusual to combine momentum with valuation. JP Morgan is saying that the momentum has hit its peak. I would have to agree with that. Just from a guy who sits here and looks at a lot of charts during the course of the day, I look at a lot of momentum metrics, which are relative strength. But, you know, where you really see momentum varies in the parabolic charts that we had last week in NVIDIA,
right.
ASM lithography, Super Microcomputer, AMD.
And that's with no real momentum. Guidance. Yeah, and with no real guidance, what you've had, you know, a lot of, you know, especially recently is, you know, upgrades, right, target price move. You know, a lot of it, of course, is, you know, analyst-driven just in terms of, you know, more and more, you know, what I call narrative, right, to push the stock higher versus, you know, versus actual, you know, numbers, right? We've got the kind of got the bumps from earnings per share and from the analyst calls. And, of course, we've got that the NVIDIA developer, you know, the development conference that the NVIDIA CEO is going to be speaking at. So, you know, you get this news, and, you know, a lot of it isn't, you know, is more qualitative than quantitative, right?
Well, you know, one of the components of momentum is immeasurable. You cannot measure the amount of enthusiasm and euphoria that is in that equation. And I have measures that I use also. I list the A-plus ranked momentum stocks on a daily basis. We got up to 400 last Thursday. That was the day before the NASDAQ finally cracked on Friday, where NVIDIA stopped going up. It had gone up for like 10 days in a row or something like that without even stopping. And all of a sudden you get that reversal where it was way up in the morning. That was on Friday, I think. And then it finished down, and it did a $350 billion reversal from the top that day to the bottom.
Yeah.
And that would be a good example of a possible peak in momentum. And generally speaking, the momentum starts to fade and hit its peak in the go-go stocks. That's just the way it is. The stocks that have been leading this powerful move that we've had over the last several weeks, NVIDIA would be number one. Right behind it would be AMD. Those stocks are down today, by the way. ASM Lithography has definitely been one of the stocks. Avago, AVGO Broadcom has also been a driver. Lam Research, those have been the stocks, semiconductor, chip stocks, that have been leading this momentum move. And when they start to peak and start to back off, I would agree with J.P. Morgan that momentum has hit its peak, especially in the mega caps. So anyways, this is Marko Kalanovich, which he's also tends to be a bit on the bearish side. It's a toss-up between him and Mike Wilson, who are the most bearish analysts out there. So J.P. Morgan, I call him Kalamity-Vich, is warning of a market correction as he notices momentum starting to lose its strength. He says it's a dynamic stock factor, and I totally agree with that, that changes its exposure depending on macroeconomic and fundamental conditions. As such, it often becomes crowded. I agree with that. Followed by an inevitable and often sharp correction. Now, you could be making that argument that we've been due for that for the last 6-8 weeks, really. But I never saw any signs of it cracking until last week. I started to see the momentum. And if you look at the Magnificent Seven, Alphabet has lost its momentum entirely. Amazon still has a little bit of momentum. Apple has no momentum. Meta still has its mojo going. Microsoft still has its. NVIDIA still has it. But Tesla has completely reversed and lost its momentum. And in fact, we'll get to that in a bit, I saw a sell recommendation on Tesla today. I haven't seen that in a long time. Now, we sold ours several months ago, I'm going to say, or several weeks ago, 2 months ago. I'd have to look at the exact date. But there's actually people now putting a sell rating on Tesla. Okay, more bad news, the deficit. I just don't know how you can excuse this. U.S. federal deficit balloons $296 billion in February. That means during the month of February, we spent $296 billion. This is in 1 month more than we took in. And, of course, you know, we're hearing that the federal deficit is going to go down, but the only way that's going to happen, look, this budget we talked about yesterday is a record. It's over $7 trillion of spending in 1 year. It's spending on steroids. And we're being told that over the next 10 years the deficit will come down. But there ain't no way that those tax proposals that are on the table. So I mean, the budget.
It's a talking point. I was reading some points, and actually, I was reading some. Letter that goes out and talks. Goes out a couple times a week and talks about just the political climate in general, and they tend to not really. They tend to stay a little neutral in terms of what they talk about.
Just look at that as an accountant would, right? Numbers guy.
And you look at it, and I think the word was to say it's dead. You know, that budget's dead on arrival is an understatement.
Yeah,
right?
it's dead on arrival.
It's essentially a campaign platform. I mean,
but
it's
they
exactly
are spending. What the budget calls for. It's really obscene. For a numbers person that analyzes individual companies, if America were an individual company, it would have a chart that looked awful, right? because of the spending that we're doing. It's way more than what we're taking in. It's ridiculous. It's not sustainable. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. It was just a matter of time before they start setting up regulations on AI. And on the one hand, you certainly don't want AI running out of control, which it seems like right now it's just moving full speed ahead. But at the same time, you definitely want regulations. And on the other hand, you know, they set up regulations so they can then fine these companies, right? Down the road, because they can be a nice ATM machine for a lot of individual governments and whatnot. They got a lot of money. Why did Jesse James rob the banks, Barry? Because that's where the money was.
That's where the money was.
Today it's in Meta.
It's in information. Or
Amazon.
Ask United Health, right? Ask United Health where the money was.
We need a check for $200 million and it'll go away. We'll make your problem go away.
Paid in Bitcoin.
Yes. We're seeing the first AI regulations start to come along. And this TikTok thing's an interesting story. You know, it seems like there's a pretty strong will right now to make ByteDance sell TikTok. Now, I don't know how that solves anything. TikTok still, you would think, would be doing what they're doing now, and it just wouldn't have that connection to ByteDance, which is obviously China. But I saw an interesting proposal today from Rumble. Video platform Rumble offers to buy and operate TikTok's U.S. operations. I don't know if that's going to go anywhere, but Rumble's up 10% today. So anyways, we'll see what happens. A top Republican lawmaker said he would look for the House to vote on a bill which would force ByteDance to sell the app or face a ban in the U.S. And then you had Trump weighing in, which he's reversed himself. He was against TikTok, and now he's supporting TikTok. And his reasoning now is, if you ban TikTok, then that empowers Facebook and doesn't give them any competition. So anyways, there's a lot of going back and forth about TikTok. Lilly had a big day yesterday. Eli Lilly did, after a little sell-off here recently. And I like the chart on Lilly. It's pulled back. I still have it with 100% or more upside potential over the next 5 years. Eli Lilly is in a pact with Amazon to deliver Zepbound and other medicines.
Yeah, I was thinking, is it hard for them to get it, you know, to find a place to sell it? I think the biggest problem is keeping up with
the demand.
Right.
Yeah, now you can have it delivered to your doorstep along with your your cheesecakes or whatever else you're ordering from Amazon. But I think that's a pretty interesting, distribution.
Oh, yeah.
That gives them a leg up on NVO, Novo Nordisk. They are in a partnership with Amazon for home delivery of certain prescription drugs, such as its popular weight loss therapy, Zepbound. So another way to get the drug, which I consider to be a wonder drug. I really do. I've talked to a lot of people that have tried it, that are on it, that have lost, have a friend that's lost over 70 pounds on Zepbound. It just takes away that craving, which is the hardest thing to overcome probably in the whole process. And I've also I've talked to a few people that have had some stomach issues with it, but most people say no, that it you know, doesn't cause any kind of sickness, and I've heard people say they've had more energy than they've had in a long time when they're on the Zepbound. So, anyways, it's a blockbuster drug. There's no question about it. Okay, Qualcomm in focus as company teases new Snapdragon flagship on social media. Okay, we've been saying that something's coming, and they've been talking about it too at their present. They had their annual shareholders meeting just last week, I think it was, and they were talking about their AI strategy, mostly which would be mobile strategy. And, of course, their name of their chip is Snapdragon. In fact, I think the new stadium in San Diego that they built there in Mission Valley is called Snapdragon Stadium instead of Qualcomm Stadium. The Spring Dragon raises its head and everything is reborn, Qualcomm wrote on the company's official Weibo account, according to translation. The new Snapdragon flagship is about to be released. Let's welcome the new year and the new era. So it sounds like Qualcomm's going to enter into the AI space in a big way. Qualcomm did not immediately respond to a request for comment from Seeking Alpha. It's possible that the reference to Snapdragon indicates the company will officially announce its latest Snapdragon 8 Generation 3 system on a chip, which powers mobile devices, including Android smartphones. The announcement comes just days after Qualcomm CEO Cristiano Amon, talked up the company's future in artificial intelligence. We believe the impact will be significant as generative AI applications become indispensable companions and business enablers. So anyways, Qualcomm's up 18% year to date. It's up about 50% over the past year. And, you know, Qualcomm's been in need of something because really over the last decade it's pretty much been a very, very slow growing stock. But it looks like there's something out there in their Snapdragon chip. The Boeing fallout continues. I did hear on the local news this morning that they are going to conduct a very extensive investigation of suicide is what it's called now, of the Boeing whistleblower at a hotel near downtown Charleston. I found out it was the Holiday Inn, which it's a bit of an older hotel, but it's right on the Ashley River there. Yeah, beautiful view from that place.
Been apparently a whistleblower since 2017 or so. I was reading the story in terms of, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, with the plane actually that was the Dreamliner that was here. So
it was the Dreamliner that he blew the whistle on. And of course, I mean, look, okay, you got a whistleblower, all of a sudden he shows up dead in his truck in the parking lot of the motel. So there's obviously a lot of was it a suicide, was it a Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in his cell kind of incident, or did somebody get him? We don't know. We'll find out. We'll see. You would think there would be a lot of security cameras in the parking lot of a busy hotel like that. So we'll see what comes from that. But it's an interesting story here to follow. But the fallout from Boeing is rippling through the airline industry. We saw Southwest Airlines plunged yesterday. And so did a plane, by the way. Did you hear about that one? That was over in New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah, and I was hearing, they had, and this is the headline risk part, right, where it just creates more and more headline risk. I saw an interview with a guy who was on the plane and was sleeping.
Yeah.
And woke up as they were in a, you know, as the plane was essentially free-falling. And, you know, he said he looked up and somebody was on the ceiling.
Yeah.
He thought he was, you know, having
broke
a dream.
Broke the ceiling with their heads.
Thought he was having a dream of the Exorcist. And that's, you know, a lot of that reason, right, is why they tell you, you know, you're sitting to stay buckled up. Like, you know, those on the plane recently and there's a, you know, cute 4-year-old or 3-year-old just going up and down the aisle, right? You know, staying busy, having fun. And I'm just, you know, looking like, man, I hope we don't hit any turbulence.
Well, the pilot of the plane said that his instrument panel, just everything shut down and went dark. Everything on his instrument panel.
Wow.
And it came back up. Right? So if it wouldn't have come back up, that plane would have been doomed. So anyways, they're going to look at the software. But a lot of people got hurt really badly. And the last story here before the break, Wells Fargo cuts Tesla to a sell, saying it's a growth company without growth. Well, you know, we said the same thing back when we ended up selling our position. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll look underneath the hood of the market. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I got a few other stories here today. Super microcomputer in the news today. It was added as a new long idea by HedgeEye analyst Felix Wang due to the company's role in the artificial intelligence revolution. And we've talked about it a lot. We own it in our, it's one of our biggest winners in our emerging growth portfolio. They specialize.
Yeah, been, no pun intended, it's been powering that thing, right?
Man, SMCI, since we bought it, is up 323%. That's a quadruple. Okay, and we still like it. If you look at it in the Best Stocks Now app, you can see what our 5-year target price is. And of course, I saw a new technology that, I can't remember the name of the stock. It was a small stock, about a $3 or $4 stock. They're building, supercomputers like this that'll be immersed in water to help keep it cool.
I mean,
and I think it speeds it up a little bit too. So that we'll see how that one works out.
That's
right?
That's a big, that's a big piece. I had a, I knew a guy years ago who was, you know, would make his own computers, right? Before we had the speed that they have now. And he said his story was, I had the fastest computer ever for 30 minutes, and then it caught on fire.
Yeah, that's so, true. Okay. I mean, those chips
heat up. Didn't have enough fans to keep it cool.
Wow. Unbelievable. Okay, now, let's see. What else do we have here? Texas Roadhouse gets an upgrade. You know, I like Texas Roadhouse. I like the stock. It's one of the few. It's one of the chosen ones. That continues to do well. It, along with the Chipotle, and of course a QSR or a few of the restaurant stocks. Dollar Tree, lousy earnings. I don't see anything there. Petco, I don't see anything there in their earnings reports. Now, if we look underneath, one other story here. Okay, we get portfolios that transfer to us all the time from other firms. So, for instance, I know what Fisher Investments owns because we've had several Fisher Investment portfolios come to us. I would just say I'm not very impressed with the stocks that Fisher owns. But, you know, look, everybody has a different way of looking at the markets. But almost inevitably, when you get a big, when you get an account from one of the big wirehouse firms, Merrill Lynch, or Bank of America, I guess it is today, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, let's see, Raymond James, the big ones, it's always going to have Johnson & Johnson in it. I don't know why that is. Johnson & Johnson, okay, well, let's quantify it, okay?
It's one that people know, right? It's a brand that people know, I guess, and it's just, I don't know if it's a lot of times I feel like our in our industry, and now it's really you know, don't make anyone mad, and you know, but you're not going to make them happy.
Keep them
either,
alive,
right? You're just keeping, yeah. You're just, you know, stay the midpoint, right?
Yeah, and nobody's going to be mad. They think they're safe owning. But here's the deal. All right, so anyways, over the last 10 years, according to the BestStocksNowApp.com, let's just quantify it. J&J has given a total a capital appreciation return of 5.7% per year. That's the average over the last 10 years. The S&P is 18.2%. So, you know, we're talking, we seek alpha. We seek companies that beat the S&P 500. It has lagged over the last decade. They've had one problem after another, the biggest being their baby powder. Which actually caused the stock last year was down 11.3% when the S&P was up 24.2%.
Right? Well, didn't they? And they had some. What they had a they had a COVID vaccine too, didn't they?
That didn't pan out.
Right. Yeah.
Over the last 5 years, the stock has averaged 3.2% per year, while the S&P is 17%. I can get on a 2-year Treasury right now 5.6%. Why would I take stock market risk with Johnson & Johnson? And over the last 12 months, the stock is up 7.6%, while the S&P over the last 12 months is up 34.3%. So it trails the market, 10-year return, 5-year return, 3-year return, 1-year return. Now if we look at the valuation on it, say, well, maybe it's a deep value stock. It's been a 3% grower over the last 5 years, and it's expected to be maybe 7. That's being generous, 7%. That's what I'm using in my equation here, my formula. And using the dividend yield of 3%, I calculate 45% upside potential over the next 5 years, and that's being generous. And we like 85% or more, and yet it's probably the most widely held stock out there, and you know, it's almost always along with the several others part of you know, portfolios that come to us from other firms. Now let's take a look underneath the surface of the market. We only got a minute left here. I know that AMD and Nvidia are pretty much behind the drop in the tech sector today. Let's take a look at the S&P 500 very, very quickly to see who the winners are. I know Dollar Tree is also one of the losers in the market today. Yeah, Dollar Tree's down 15%. Ouch. AMD's down 4.3%. Tesla's down another 3.3%. Ugly chart on Tesla. Ugly, ugly. You know, it's kind of the materials that are doing well today. Oil. Valero's up 5%. Freeport MacMoran up 5%. Next Era Energy up 4%. And then you've got PayPal up 3.9%. I've been looking at PayPal a little bit recently, along with Square. 3M's up 3.9%. 3M's probably the driver behind the Dow being up today, and that's because they're expected to split into, I think, two or three different companies. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to have, I think, the one main piece, I think it's, I don't know how to pronounce the name. I guess it'll roll off the tongue at some point. But, yeah, they're into dividing one piece is going to be a healthcare division.
Yeah. Everybody's got a healthcare division, right, including GE. They've actually rolled out their healthcare division.
Right.
Okay, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter to at least see what we consider to be the best stocks now, you can go to the website at GundersonCapital.com. to set up an appointment with us, to get a financial plan, to review your current portfolios, to give you suggestions of ways to maybe improve your portfolios, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.